Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Inauguration Day. It's the 20th of January, Tuesday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., right where the inauguration took place today. I only watched the opening minutes of the swearing-in of Barack Obama. And I'm here to tell you already, there's a rumor circulating on the Internet that he did not swear to defend the Constitution of the United States. I saw that or heard that somewhere. I think I heard a caller call into RBN earlier today and make that claim. But I went to the archives of CBS News, and yes, Barack Obama did in fact swear to defend the Constitution of the United States. That doesn't mean that he will defend the Constitution of the United States. Practically every president ever sworn into office is sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States, and we know that they haven't. So don't hold it against Barack Obama if he doesn't, because he's only following a very sad pattern. But needless to say, I'm sure the rumor that he did not swear to defend the Constitution will take on a life of its own, and people are probably swearing at me now for refuting the rumor. But be that as it may, I didn't listen to his inaugural address. I've heard a lot of criticisms of it, but usually these inaugural addresses are a lot of hot air anyway, and, you know, whatever they say they're going to do, they generally don't. So I'm not too worried about what he did or did not say. I'm just going to wait and see what kind of performance we get out of him one way or the other. I should tell you that I spent the evening reading a book of presidential quotations or reading excerpts from previous presidential inaugural addresses. But no, I didn't, folks. I actually was reading a very entertaining Hollywood memoir, Ernie, by that great actor Ernest Borgnine, that great Italian-American actor Ernest Borgnine. I've seen Ernest Borgnine listed on lists of Jews in Hollywood, but he is not a Jew. But he is a good actor. I've always enjoyed Ernest Borgnine. He's still alive at age like 91, and this memoir, I get the very strong feeling, was actually written by him, or certainly dictated by him in large part. His personality comes through in many, many ways. And if you have any interest in Hollywood, it's rather worth reading, because it's just a very entertaining book by a pretty down-to-earth guy. He's not floating around in the clouds up there like Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise. Boy, I could tell you a story about Tom Cruise, but I'm not going to tell you the story. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I don't really have my usual big pile of clippings here tonight to talk about. Usually I always have a pile of clippings that I've clipped out of the paper or come across, usually over lunch. I swear the people sitting next to me at lunch in restaurants must think I'm crazy, tearing the paper apart and scribbling notations on them. Oftentimes, as I've mentioned on the show, I find articles that I know with the proper notations upon them will shock my friend, the big shot lawyer. I did call the big shot lawyer today to gloat about the departure of George W. Bush. I understand Bush got booed when he came out onto the podium for the inauguration. I wish I would have been there. I understand also they had an anti-war protest here in Washington the other day, and they were throwing shoes at a dummy of George W. Bush. Maybe I should have just said throwing shoes at a dummy, but let's face it, George Bush was president of the United States, like it or not, and you don't get to be president of the United States by being a dummy, even if you have the most powerful people in the world behind you. Well, when we come back, folks, I'm going to have a few comments, then we'll go to some phone calls. The number here is 800-313-9443.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, coming to you from Washington, headquarters of American Free Press. Do check it out on the internet, the website of the newspaper, not the newspaper itself, the website of the newspaper at AmericanFreePress.net. And if you're not too horrified by the truth about what really happened during World War II and the Holocaust, so-called Holocaust, and a lot of other things about history, you might want to check out the website of the Barnes Review. That website is barnesreview.com, and there's an E after the N, B-A-R-N-E-S, review.com. Well, you know, a lot of people hate me because I'm a stickler for detail. Some people find my determination for exactness and detail to be annoying. Other people just absolutely hate me for it. But be that as it may, I must clarify something earlier. Talking about Ernest Borgnine, I said he was not Jewish. I said he was Italian. No, he was born in the United States of Italian descent. And another thing, ladies and gentlemen, the latest issue of American Free Press, which many of you have probably received by now, or should be receiving if you are a subscriber, and you should be, has a number of articles in there by me, including one about the secret relationship, well, not-so-secret relationship, between Israel and Hamas. I must tell you, I was absolutely flabbergasted today when I took a second look at the third look at the article, second time after it had been published, the first time being before it was published and laid out to go to the printer, and I missed two errors in the article that I must correct on the air and which will be mentioned in a correction in a, if not the next issue of American Free Press, certainly a forthcoming issue. One of the errors was that there was a direct quotation from the Washington Post in the opening paragraphs of that article in which, and I mentioned this on the air, in which the Washington Post had admitted there was this little-known relationship between Israel and Hamas in the earliest days of Hamas. Well, there was an additional paragraph from the Washington Post that should have been indented when it was published in American Free Press, but unfortunately it wasn't. So therefore it appears it's not a glaring matter, but the fact is it was the wording of the Washington Post writer, Glenn Kessler. The way it came out in the newspaper, it appears as though those were my words. Well, I agree with what Mr. Kessler wrote, but I don't want anybody to think I was plagiarizing his writing, nor do I want anyone to think that American Free Press was plagiarizing his writing. No, it was just a production error. That paragraph should have been indented, but, you know, we're very shorthanded at American Free Press. I should have noticed it when I was copy-reading it before publication, but I didn't. There was a second error in there, which was entirely my own. The word not was not there where it should have been. I said that one of the reasons why Israel was building up Hamas was because they found it convenient to say that because of Hamas's so-called extremism, they would use this to say that Yasser Arafat and the secular elements of the POW could not control the extremist elements. Well, the way it came out, due to my own error, I dropped a word, it came out suggesting that Yasser Arafat was allied with the extremist elements. In any case, just wanted to bring those matters to your attention. As I say, there will be a corrections in American Free Press. Well, that having been said, I also want to mention, Dave from Massachusetts has called several times and talked about Jack McLamb and his concerns about some of the things that Jack has been saying on his show. I had occasion to listen to Jack's show over the weekend. In fact, it was actually a replay from the archives. It was an edition, whatever you want to call it, of Jack's program where Dave actually called in. I noticed, as Dave has pointed out, that Jack has often mentioned his good Jewish brothers and sisters out there who have provided him information. I don't find that suspicious. I think what Jack is trying to convey is that he's bringing a lot of information to people that he gets from Jewish sources. That's precisely what I had mentioned. I've mentioned time and time again on this show, and I mentioned last night in response to one of our callers, a fellow who called actually from Sweden. I mentioned that I often get information from Jewish sources. Jack, I guess, gets a little grandiose in some respects when he talks about his dear Jewish brothers and sisters. But I don't think that means that we have to think that Jack is getting information or disinformation from the Mossad. I think when Jack is talking about his dear Jewish brothers and sisters, he's talking about the late Jack Bernstein, for example, who, as you know, was a personal friend of mine. Jack was, of course, an Ashkenazi, a Jew born in New York, I do believe, of Ashkenazi Jewish descent. And Jack spent some time in Israel and became a very big critic of Israel and wrote two booklets. Incidentally, Jack McLamb mentioned to Jack Bernstein that he had heard Jack McLamb mentioned that Jack Bernstein had been murdered. Folks, that rumor has been around on the internet for a long time. I think probably the primary source of that is no less than he/she himself, Eric Hufschmidt. There is no evidence anywhere, and I can say this with great authority because Jack was working with Liberty Lobby at the time he became ill. He had just returned from a trip to the Philippines. It was a personal venture. He had gone over to the Philippines, and evidently he picked up some sort of tropical illness. There's no evidence whatsoever that Jack was murdered by the Mossad, and frankly, I don't think that the Mossad would murder somebody just because they wrote a book critical of Israel. If that were the case, I'd be dead. Mark Glenn would be dead. All the survivors of the USS Liberty would be dead. Everybody would be dead. Darryl Bradford Smith would be dead. You know, everybody would be dead, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody who has criticized Israel. A lot of hosts in this network Mark Dankoff would be dead. You know, Jack Bernstein, to the best of my knowledge, was not murdered. And I was close enough to the scene, folks, regarding Jack Bernstein, number one, that, or I should say, as I've mentioned, that I actually helped, and I can't remember now if I helped pay for Jack's funeral or if I helped pay for Jack's return ticket from the Philippines. But I do remember putting in $10 or $15, maybe $20 for one of those worthy projects. But Jack Bernstein was not murdered. I'm going to have to send an email to Jack McLam to let him know, because, like I say, that's just not the case at all. Now, let me clarify that, a stickler for detail that I am. Yes, it's entirely possible that they slipped Jack Bernstein a Mickey, but I don't believe that they did. And no one who knew Jack Bernstein, as I did and as my colleagues did, no one believed that Jack's death was anything other than a natural death at the time. So, you know, like I say, nor was Benjamin Friedman murdered. Benjamin Friedman was a very old man when he died. I forget exactly what year Benjamin Friedman did die, but he was not murdered, ladies and gentlemen. He had been around for a long, long time and was very active. So Benjamin Friedman was not murdered either, and he was a great man. He's responsible for a lot of good works. And, of course, you can find out a lot about Ben Friedman at IamTheWitness.com. Incidentally, in that regard, speaking of anti-Zionist Jews and Jewish sources bringing out revealing information, I must tell you that I was very glad to hear Des Griffin interviewed on an RBN program. I believe, was it an RBN program? You know, I'm not sure where it was, ladies. Yes, he was interviewed on Henry Mayhew's program several weeks or months ago. I'm not sure when, but Des Griffin, who has been a grand old man, pardon me, Des, if you're listening, he's been a grand man in the patriot and nationalist movement for a long time, published a lot of good books, makes available a lot of good books and videotapes and so forth. I was pleased to hear that Des Griffin agrees with me that the famous Harold Wallace Rosenthal interview is a concoction. I never believed it from the beginning. I never believed that it was real. And Des, who actually knew the gentleman who put it out, had some very stark suspicions about the reality of that famous so-called interview. So, again, this is one of those things that takes on a lot of currency, and people quote it relentlessly, even religiously. But you know what, folks? It just ain't true. Now, I wouldn't swear my life on that, but I'll tell you what. I'm pretty certain about it, number one, and so is Des Griffin. And I was just glad to see that someone else would be willing to stick their neck out there and say, well, you know, it sounds good, but it's just not for real. I know that disappoints a lot of people who want to believe it to be true, but again, it's just one of those things that, you know, just ain't all it's cracked up to be. Well, in any case, like I say, I don't like when Jack McLam refers to the Ashkenazi Jews in Israel being evil, vicious, murdering Gentiles, because that's kind of confusing things and would make a lot of people think that Jack is attacking the Gentiles when, in fact, he's really attacking those evil people who are in Israel doing all those evil things. But I always have to caution everybody to remember that it's not just the Ashkenazis in Israel who are killing our fellow Christians and our Muslim brothers and sisters. In fact, there are many, many Sephardic Jews in Israel who are doing those things. And I will remind you, too, that there were many, many Sephardic Jews who were involved in international banking, who moved into London, who moved into France, who moved into Spain and Portugal, and from there helped push along what we now today refer to as the New World Order. So, folks, it's just not the Ashkenazi. Just not the not only the Ashkenazis, ladies and gentlemen.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Piper here, coming to you from Washington. You know, I have been promising the last week, and really, I've actually been promising now for a year or two, to bring you the story of that loathsome criminal, Mark Weber, who, directed by Andrew E. Allen, an intelligence operative out of San Francisco with ties to the CIA and the Mossad, who together destroyed Liberty Lobby in the spotlight and also now have brought the Institute for Historical Review to oblivion, having disposed of nearly $800,000, $900,000 worth of books that Willis Cardo published under the IHR's auspices with money that he received from the estate of a grandniece of Thomas Edison, the great American inventor. Now, of course, a lot of revisionists who just absolutely said Willis Cardo was lying when he was criticizing Mark Weber's actions. A lot of these people are now saying, hey, we've got to get Mark Weber out of the Institute for Historical Review. The guy is a rat, a dirty rat, as Jimmy Cagney might say. And I do intend to talk about it in some detail. This is a story which is just breaking. A lot of people don't know about it, the most recent events, but fact is it's a story that does need to be told. Weber, as you know, this is a guy who touts himself as the great intellectual, the great Holocaust revisionist intellectual, who soaked a rich man out in Nebraska, Bill Curry, for roughly 8 years, living free in his property and getting paid by Curry to write the greatest book on the Holocaust ever. And no such book has ever materialized. Not from Mark Weber, anyway. During that same time frame, I like to point out, ladies and gentlemen, I've cranked out 6 or 7 books. Maybe more. I lose track sometimes. Where's that book, Weber? You're such a great Holocaust revisionist, you crook. Destroyed Liberty Lobby in the spotlight. Ruined the Institute for Historical Review. And now you say Holocaust revisionism is a big mistake. You just want to bait the Jews and talk about Jewish power. So you say. What about all those people that have put up their reputations and gone to jail over Holocaust revisionism? Hell, Mark Weber, he didn't even show up for the Great Holocaust Conference in Iran. Can you believe that? Here's a guy, ladies and gentlemen, who soaked Liberty Lobby through a lawsuit of about $2 million, then forced Liberty Lobby out of business, and then after Liberty Lobby went out of business, he collected nearly, and this is off the top of my head, folks, I have the exact data somewhere here, collected roughly $1.5 million that was supposed to go to Liberty Lobby, was intended to go to Liberty Lobby by people who wanted to leave it to Liberty Lobby, but because Weber had this judgment against Liberty Lobby, the money went to Mark Weber. So this is a guy who cleaned up to the tune of well over, $3, maybe $4 million, and he hasn't produced anything at the Institute for Historical Review. He's a traitor, just like, what's his name, Klaus von Stauffenberg. Well, anyway, yes, I would like to talk more about Weber, but, I'll tell you what, bringing this full circle, we have a whole lineup of callers, and so I'm just going to go right to the callers. And you know what, that'll also give me the opportunity to really sit down and try to outline for you. It might take one show, it might take two shows, but we're going to have to do it, folks, to get the whole story on the record, the whole story of the criminal career of Mark Weber, who I have believed for a long, long time, was at least at one point an asset of U.S. intelligence, and perhaps still is. He certainly is under the thumb of Andrew E. Allen of San Francisco. Well, let's just go right to the calls, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to go to Ohio with Zach.
Hello?
Hey, Zach, what's going on?
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call. First of all, I kind of regret that you had to kick off your Indian American philosopher from your show. I call him that because he didn't really want to talk about any facts or anything like that. But anyway, I do think that he brought up a good point that I want to talk about.
Go ahead.
All right. He brings up the fact that he gets on your show and tries to, I don't know, argue with you or whatever, but then next thing you know, he's got other callers claiming that he's Jewish, right?
Right.
Well, I just think that that's kind of a logical fallacy that a lot of people that try to think about these kind of issues fall into.
Well, okay, Zach, I'll tell you what, I would agree with you, number one, but I would also point out that I indicated to Arian, like the first or second time that happened, I think the first time that happened, that I was stipulating for the record that we accepted his claim that he was, in fact, not Jewish.
Right.
But he kept bringing that up again, CB, instead of answering questions.
Oh, yeah, he definitely
he kept bringing that same thing up again, and I would have to come around and waste more time saying, well, Arian, we've already stipulated that you're not Jewish, so why don't we go on to something else? Zach,
right.
Hang on for the break here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington here at republicbroadcasting.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Before we went to the break, we're talking here with Zach from Ohio. Zach pointed out, I think quite correctly, that a couple callers had said they disputed Aryan from California's claim that he was not of Jewish descent, and that did upset Aryan. And as I say, I stipulated for Aryan's benefit that he was not Jewish, but Aryan kept coming back to it. And Zach, that's something else. So the reason why I decided to bar Aryan from the program was because it just seemed to me that no matter what facts I would bring up or no matter what details I would bring up,
he would just pull a red herring and, you know, just avoid the issues totally. Oh, yeah, I know. I really don't.
Yeah, you know what it was like? It was like I could bring up the attack on the USS Liberty and Aryan would say, "Well, you believe in a Jewish conspiracy." Or I could bring up what Israel is doing in Gaza, and Aryan would say, "Well, you sound like Adolf Hitler," you know, and it just, you know, after a point, it just loses any semblance of a serious debate.
Right. I thought his first call was pretty good, but after his first phone call to your network there, he just kind of ruined everything. But
my impression of Aryan is, I don't know how old the guy is. He sounds like a fairly young guy.
Yeah.
He sounds sincere. He's not stupid by any means, although I disagree with a lot of his conclusions. I get the impression he's the kind of guy that got it in his head at some point that, you know, because you can't help but get it in your head. You hear about it every day in the media that anti-Semitism is terrible and criticism of Israel is setting the stage for a new Holocaust. And that really concerns Aryan. But, you know, I just wonder if Aryan heard Jewish people attacking Islam or if he heard Jewish people attacking Christianity on a radio program, if he would actually call those programs and criticize those people saying those things. I don't think that he would.
Yeah, and we know that happens a lot anyway. But
yeah.
but that, really, that wasn't the point of my call.
Well, go ahead.
Throw that in. Are you familiar with Mike Godwin's law?
Who is that?
Okay, he's just a Usenet guy. He likes to write a little bit, and his law says as an online discussion grows longer, the probability of a comparison including Nazis or Hitler approaches one. And his point is, the overuse of Nazi and Hitler comparisons should be avoided because it only robs valid comparisons of their impact. I think it works the same on our point of view as, you know, if you overuse Judaism and Jewish comparisons, it only robs valid comparisons of their impact.
Well,
right?
Okay, I would, if I read you correctly, he's saying that, this gentleman you're talking about, he's saying that Nazism was a really bad thing, and if you too frequently compare anything to Nazism, it detracts from the real evil that Nazism was, in his judgment. But then,
right,
on the other hand, when we're talking about things that directly relate to Jewish power in this country or relate to what Israel is doing, you can't help but refer to the fact that Israel is, at least by its own description, a Jewish state, and this lobby for Israel in this country is largely driven by Jewish money and Jewish people, with, in recent years, a big assist from Christian Zionists. So I don't think you can get away from talking about it.
Right, but what I mean is, if you came on the show and you said Barack Obama was, in fact, a Sephardi Jew, that would kind of hurt your credibility, you know.
Exactly. If it weren't true,
right.
I mean, if it were true, I might say it. But
it's fine, you know. But because to me, you know, being a Jew doesn't imply guilt or innocence. But anyway, this is my point. You had a call from John from Texas, and he is trying to explain a Jewish groupthink. You know what I'm trying? That's what he's trying to explain. And here's what he says. He says, so even if they strayed off and became a rock star like Frank Zappa or whatever, there is always that Talmudic start. But I just use on here defending that, you know, Hitler wasn't Jewish. So I would just like to defend the fact that Frank Zappa was, in fact, not Jewish.
Well, you know, it's funny, when he said that, I remember thinking that Frank Zappa wasn't Jewish. Well, then I'm glad you corrected us on that.
Yeah,
in fact, I think Frank Zappa was Italian, wasn't he?
Well, he was mostly Italian. You know, his mom was three-quarters Italian, a quarter French. His dad was half Italian, half Arab. And
okay.
Yeah, and...
Well, then we forgive John for his error, and we apologize to Frank Zappa.
What I think happened was he confused, like, Jewish revolutionary spirit with, you know, Zappa using naughty words in the songs or something like that.
That may well be, yeah. I mean, there has been a lot written on that, both from Jewish writers and non-Jewish writers. And, you know, I think it's safe to say, though, that it was Michael Jones that referred to as this new book, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit.
Yeah, actually, Frank Zappa grew up Catholic until he was 18.
Okay.
But, I would also like to add just here for the end, were you aware that Frank Zappa himself was actually accused of being an anti-Semite?
this comes back to me, and I think, yes, I think I did hear that at one point.
He wrote,
of course, everybody's
song.
Been accused of being an anti-Semite.
Right, everybody, even Semites themselves. But he writes the song Jewish Princess. I'm sure you know what one of those are, right?
Oh, yes, I went to George Washington University.
Okay, well, the ADL says that Frank Zappa's song, Jewish Princess, is vulgar, sexual, and anti-Semitic references, which leave very little to the imagination. Do you mind if I read just one quick quote from Frank Zappa on this issue?
No, go ahead.
Oh, great. Thank you. He's asked by, I believe this is a High Times interview, even though he totally denounced drug use, but he would talk anywhere. But it says, are you suing the ADL for their protest to the FCC over Jewish Princess, the song they consider anti-Semitic? And he says, there is no suit. The ADL is a noise-making organization that tries to apply pressure on people in order to manufacture a stereotype image of Jews that suits their idea of a good time. They go around claiming that other people are saying things that produce a stereotype image of Jews. What they are really about is manufacturing a freeze-dried, totally perfect image of a Jew. It's an organization paid for by Jews. Their job is to make sure everyone who is not a Jew will always perceive them in this one special, perfect way. This is wrong. It's as wrong as assuming all musicians are the same. There are different kinds of Jews, too, they may say. Did you have your lawyer call them for an apology? I told them, yeah. I called them up and demanded an apology. I knew I wasn't going to get it. I don't believe in anybody who tries to control PR that way. I think it's as dangerous as a thing as the Nazis did and just as fake. That's it.
Very interesting quotation. Zach, I appreciate that phone call. Very interesting call.
Well, I appreciate you taking it now. Thanks a lot, and you are, in fact, my favorite anti-Semite.
All right. I appreciate that. All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here. All right. Let's go the whole way out to Idaho. We've got Wes in Idaho.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, Wes?
I just read that on inaugural addresses, George Washington delivered the shortest one at just 135 words, and Harrison delivered the longest one at 8,000 words in the snow and died a month later of pneumonia.
That's how these things work.
A caller there yesterday, it was Robert E. Lee, that was born January 19th, 1807.
Robert E. Lee, that's correct.
Somebody mentioned the movie Eternal Jew. Well,
right.
What about Judd Suss?
Judd Suss. Yeah, that's another one of the famous films made in Germany about about a Jewish banker in some country. I'm not sure it was Germany or Austria. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Wurttemberg, Germany. I understand it is loosely based on fact. There was, at the end of the movie, a Jew, Oppenheimer, was hung in the city square. And I believe I've actually found that in the encyclopedia.
As a matter of fact, oddly enough, I have a book about actually published in Israel in English, a book about the Nazi propaganda films. And they open up that book pointing out that that book or that movie was loosely based on a book written by a Jewish writer named Leon Feuchtwanger, the story of that Jewish banker named Oppenheimer that you're just talking about there. So, yes, that's based on a true story.
I understand it was digitized, is now on DVD?
It may well be. It may well be. A lot of those movies have been floating around out there on DVD or on VHS and DVD, so I imagine that one probably is. I'm sure it's probably on the Internet somewhere.
I don't think, not all of it. Some of it is on the Internet, from what I understand. The original tape, I got one 20 years ago, and it's not real good quality, but I'm sure they brought it up with a DVD they could. Alex Jones, heard him yesterday say, quote, Israel worked with Hitler, that's on record. It's stating the facts. You might want to take that to your debate if it ever takes place. I think you might...
Well, you know, I find that, you know, I tell you what, in Alex's defense, I'm, you know, Alex is not a stupid guy, and I know that he knows that Israel was founded in 1948.
Yes.
And Adolf Hitler and the Nazis came to a bitter end in 1945. So I think,
yes,
Alex was probably talking, and I can't speak for Alex, of course, especially since I haven't been on his program either, so I can't quiz him about it. But I think Alex was probably talking about Nazism and Zionism having collaborated roughly from about 1933 to 1936. But as we know, as I pointed out here in this program, the leading Jewish authority on the collaboration between the Nazis and the Zionists, Lenny Brenner, has pointed out that that collaboration came to an end about 1936, at which time the Third Reich began working with the Arabs. So, yeah, Alex needs to do a little bit more research there and, you know, has to be a little bit more careful about what he says, because people might start thinking he doesn't know what he's talking about.
There is a researcher out there that claims that Hitler got away and lived a ripe old age to be 99 or 109, died in Chicago or something. I don't know. I think he's wacko on that point. But
Well, you know, I tell you, there's... I had a conversation the other day with several people about this matter of Hitler having escaped. I don't personally think that he did. I think I've read enough about it from a wide variety of sources, pro-Hitler and anti-Hitler, and I pretty much believe that Hitler died just as the official story says that he did. It's entirely possible, though, that there was, you know, Hitler is known to have had lookalikes, just as Osama bin Laden had lookalikes and other celebrities and powerful figures have had lookalikes. It's entirely possible that one of Hitler's lookalikes, one or more of them, may have escaped the Third Reich, and for some reason in the future, some intelligence agency, or even maybe some of the famed escaped Nazis, may have had occasion to use Hitler's lookalike or lookalikes for their own purposes. But I don't believe that Hitler died in Chicago, or as one gentleman has said on this network, not one of the hosts, but one of the guests, he said Hitler died living in a national forest here in the United States, I think in, somewhere in the Northwest. Maybe he's living in the forest right behind you, Wes. I don't know.
I'll have to turn over every rock, huh? I want to clear up some confusion here on who Israel is, define some terms out there. I still maintain that really not going to get over this whole thing until we determine who Israel of the Bible is. But if you and some others want to put it on the back burner, but still I want to clear up some confusion here. Judeo-Christian, which is the greatest oxymoron that I know of.
I agree.
Of Hagee and Falwell. They believe that the Jews are all of Israel. And number two, there's British Israel of Herbert W. Armstrong that goes back to Oliver Cromwell, who let the Jews back into England in 1656. They were banished from England in 1290 by King Edward. This is the belief that the Jews and Britain, or the European white people, are the Israel. And then there is Christian Identity of Pete Peters and Willie Martin. Now, I understand that Lady Renolf and Mark Lynn and Dave from Massachusetts really have distaste for this, but Occam's Razor, I think it's the right way. But there's a fourth one, then, spiritualize Israel, that anyone that believes that Jesus is the Son of God, then they are of Israel. But that's the four ways: Judeo-Christianity, British Israelism, Christian Identity, and this spiritualism. I want to close with, I was talking to Carl Klein. You know Carl Klein?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen Carl in a while. Yeah.
And this was about 15 years ago, and he wanted to get it out to me right away that years ago when he became a Christian, he read that if you're a Christian, the world will persecute you. So he went on to search and find the most persecuted religion, denomination in all the world, and he found Christian Identity. So that's how Carl Klang came to Christian Identity.
That's very interesting. Of those four that you listed, I would say that, and as I always qualified, I'm not a real religious person per se, but I would have to say that that fourth
spiritual
version, so-called, fourth persuasion, fourth interpretation, spiritual Israel, is probably where you would fit me.
Well,
but again, you know, we all have our differing opinions. Anyway, Wes, thanks for a good call, as always. Okay, well, we'll have time for one more caller when we get back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, folks, we're wrapping up the hour here. We have time for one more caller. We'll go to John in California. John, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, John?
Hey, talking about Mark Weber, that reminds me way back when of another person in that organization, another Judas goat, as you refer him to, is Tom Marcellus.
Oh, very much so. He was part of the group that working with Mark Weber that took over. Since then, you know, one of the other people who was a member of the group, Ted O'Keefe, has come out swinging and very effectively at Weber and Marcellus, and really exposed a lot of the behind-the-scenes intrigue that was going on there, to the point that Weber and Marcellus, I do believe it was Marcellus, it may have been Greg Raven, They were overheard talking about selling the Liberty Lobby mailing list to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit. Now, even if Mark Weber was a sincere revisionist, I find it hard to believe that he would be willing to take Liberty Lobby's mailing list and sell it to the ADL if, in fact, he were on the right side. So that says a lot about where Mark Weber was coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought about, I wonder if Tom, I guess if he's still working with him or not. But anyway,
no, Marcellus got out of there after he got his job done.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, I got two things I'll close with. You talk about anti-Semite and all that. All this time, I think about somebody explain how far back, who's a Semite? How far back does it go? Does it go before Jesus came to Earth, or after, when the Jews were broken up and scattered all over the world, or, you know.
Well,
maybe,
actually,
you know, we're all Semites. I think we all came that way. I think that's the thing. You know, we want to call Israel anti-Semitic. I don't know.
Well, you know, oddly enough, that term anti-Semite was invented. It was coined, apparently, by a German named Wilhelm Marr, who was anti-Jewish, and he coined the term, and for whatever reason, the organized Jewish groups saw in that term an ideal way to, I think, muddy the waters and confuse the big picture, because obviously Arabs are Semites. They're unquestionably Semites, whereas there's a big question as to exactly whether Jews really are Semites in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's what I think, too. And then what I told you about the other night, that list of the ADL, Ariel Sharon's an anti-Semite. Maybe so. He doesn't like Arabs.
There you go.
And I thinking about what you said, too, about Israel and Hamas, and, of course, today you hear, at least on my local station, it sounds like they're all the pro-Israel, that I call them the old John Birch Society coining Israeli fellow travelers.
Exactly.
Talk about nothing down. But the last thing I'll bring up, Mike, before I go, is these people, these self-proclaimed independent populists, Lou Dobbs, Mike Savage, any of these people, I just say, please, please, if you are, talk to some independent populists.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, I talked to Ron Paul maybe once or twice before the election, I think just for window dressing, you haven't heard since. So
that's right. Well, of course, you know, this is all part of their game. These guys like Lou Dobbs and Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, and they're all Judas goats. They're all out there to make sure that people stick within a certain corral. They're not supposed to talk about Israel and Zionism or the Federal Reserve or the Rothschilds or any of the real power groups operating in America today. You're not even allowed to talk. Rush Limbaugh used to chase people off the air if they even dared to talk about the Trilateral Commission. So there's certain parameters that they want people to talk about, and it's the parameters that they and their bosses decide are the parameters.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks a lot. Have a good
night. All right. Thanks, John. All right. Apologies to those callers we couldn't bring up tonight, but we will be here tomorrow night, God willing, and many days, and hopefully years into the future. Stay tuned now for more good programming with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger.
With recent internet.